yafi. Beko hatai mi pehe planetaudio.org/pakaamanaki.
Falava, malo le soifu male langi mama, ki orana, malo elelei, fakalofa lahiatu, talofa, koku mele mele puka, meo, mai te ama, e momo lava vi kia pe te tato tamana i talangi mo tana tauhinga, mana hoka manuianga, mo ki tato uma. Mo te ola ma te malohi ku maue ki tato, o ka tino ima tato tamohaina benei. Yeah. Once again, warm Pacific greetings to all our listeners. You are tuned in and listening to Te Ama Radio on Planet FM 104.6 or live streaming online at www.planetaudio.org.nz. Or if you missed the broadcast, listen for the next 7 days at www.planetaudio.org.nz/Te Ama Pacifica Health. Better yet, you can download our weekly shows on the Planet FM website. Te Ama are proud to partner up with Waitemata District Health Board and East Tamaki Healthcare to promote health and welfare amongst our Pacific population in Aotearoa, New Zealand, so that we may have the tools and knowledge to make better lifestyle choices. Our sponsors, Waitemata District Health Board, is the largest New Zealand DHB in New Zealand, which protects, improves and promotes the health of our people and communities. And our other sponsor, East Tamaki Healthcare, is one of the largest primary healthcare providers in the country, and East Tamaki Healthcare have been serving South Auckland communities for 40 years. Mahalo ni maha kaitai lahi lele ki te Waitemata District Health Board. Ia, ma East Tamaki Healthcare, mo te ngā lue mahalohi ma te tau tō mō tātou ka aina pahe huka i Aotearoa New Zealand. On Te Ama Radio, we promote health and well-being and raise awareness about the community services available throughout our communities. Te Ama are proud to promote health and welfare for Pacifica families right here in New Zealand. At Te Ama, we actively encourage and invite guests who are working in public health or making a difference in their communities, whether it be in education, employment, sports, religion, social justice, and so forth. This radio show is for our Pacifica people and for those who are serving our Pacifica population to improve health and welfare outcomes. We have been blessed to have had some amazing and passionate guests share about themselves, their passions and work, and also the difference they are making to promote and enhance the quality of services for our Pacific people and their families right here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Mahalo ni, Te Ama.
Te kahoka longo longo. Ia, maa haka mō mō lava vikia pe te tātou tamana i te langi mō te holam te mālohe kua mō umai ki tātou. Mālo ni, you're tuned in to Te Ama. I'm your host for Te Ama, Mau Puka. Well, I hope you all had a great weekend. The weather hasn't been the best, and I'd like to make some of my workmates, I'd like to make a shout out to all of them workers out there working outside in these shocking conditions. It's supposed to be summer, man. I started at 4 a.m. this morning and it was pouring down. Strong gusts out in Half Moon Bay, but I love it. Sometimes you just got to embrace these conditions and laugh at it. just as well. I had all the PPE gears. Otherwise, it would have been a different story. Yeah. Respect to all the night shift workers, road workers, working regardless of the weather. We all have to work hard, provide an income to support our loved ones. But for me, doing this community radio work is a labour of love. No income in it, but more than money, I know will make an impact to whoever may be listening in, and hopefully that one person or whoever may act on these conversations. I have been fortunate to have met some amazing guests come on and share their work and passion, the contributions they are making, because that's what they set out to do. Be the difference. For me, I can see the passion and love from most of these guests. Also, I have to say this. Congratulations and well done to the Irish rugby team. What a win. They really took advantage of the All Blacks selections and, I guess, complacency. Definitely, the luck of the Irish had nothing to do with it, with their win this time. Well, their first win, actually, over the ABs. They really took it to the ABs from the start to finish. They grinded right throughout till the end. Well, you know, enjoy it now to all the Irish fans, because in 2 weeks' time, there will be blood. Literally, ABs will be back hard and fast. And also, hard luck to the Kiwi boys. Next time, boys. Okay, enough sports talk. Let's get to business. Well, today, our show today will focus on the disability sector and also the Pacific workforce. I know a couple of NGOs personally that are doing some amazing work, working directly with people, both disabled and non-disabled. And one of those organizations is called FAB. FAB's an organization that walks the talk. They are inclusive, promote and support self-reliance that enhances the social opportunities for people both disabled and non-disabled. I've actually had the pleasure of interviewing and meeting the FAB Pacific Operations Manager, young Paul Avea. He's been here a couple of times. I've known him for a while now, and we actually started up a young dad support group that meet up at his office there in Old Pap. We both found that a lot of young dads we knew and had heard from, they didn't really have a place to be able to share the challenges they're going through, the traps, the temptations, that kind of stuff. So yes, FAB is an organization who are literally walking the talk and supporting these people in our communities. And one of the main challenges Paul could see, and something that frustrated him a lot, is that our Pacific communities, while some of them were not inclusive or accepting of these people, like at churches, can you believe it? Churches. So we'll be looking into this as well. Well, our very special guest today, as I mentioned via emails and social media, I'm very privileged to meet this man, Manaselua. I've heard a lot about his great work, and also he's one of the original Whakatautua staff before VT was formed. So it's awesome to hear these stories, and I think him, Manufotu and Alafoliaki are part of the same crew. But just a little bit about Manaselua. He is the Disability and Pacific Workforce Manager at Te Pou. Manaselua is the national lead for Te Pou's Disability Workforce Development Program, dedicated to supporting workforce development for frontline disability support staff. Part of Manasseh's role is to support and facilitate access to leadership and training resources for the sector. A key aim is national consistency and regional responsiveness. Manasseh is a, he is an educated man. He studied at Auckland Uni. He has a Bachelor of Arts and, wow, and a Master of Arts, honors in English. His academic focus was mainly in post-colonial New Zealand and Pacific literature. He also dabbled in creative writing and poetry under the esteemed presence and guidance of, wow, Witty. He might have heard, wow, I've read some of his readings too. Manasseh started his career at the Ministry of Pacific Island Affairs in 96, where he worked for 5 years. He then left the public service to work for a couple of years as a consultant and then for a small Pacific disability provider. I'm guessing that must be PIAS. Yes. Before they combined with Malolonga Trust to form BT. He returned to the public service where he worked in the Disability Services Directorate of the Ministry of Health back in 2003 before joining Lewa back in March 2008. After five amazing and fulfilling years at Lewa, Manasseh decided to take up a senior leadership role for Te Pou in April 2013. Some of his portfolios or current projects include autism workforce development, disability workforce, and the Let's Get Real disability framework. So that's just a brief about our very special guest, and we'll be focusing a lot more on the disability and Pacific workforce sector right after this break we're going to have. And when we come back, we'll have the man himself share about the work he's doing and the approach we should have to for our workforce to help our people in the communities.
What up? Jeremiah, tell her.
I wanna get next to you. Tonight I got my crush in your zone. On my new spotter from zone. I got a couple dollars and yeah, I just got it. Text her when she home. If she text back, I'm alone. Yeah, you know, ain't no question, baby.
Tell me your name. I'm in all white, cocaine, so flame is what I'm smoking on when I think about it. When I'm looking at your body, when I see you, cause I really wanna come close. So fly, and I want you the most. Let's have a toast. Drinks on me, so me. Summertime drop top, wintertime minks on me. Too cold, I'm hoping that you really want me, cause I be at you, cause I wanna get next to you. In the back of the Phantom Motor Club, in the VIP or in the bar. When I see you, I feel like I'm looking at a star. Up the par, just so fly. Have a dream, so you be in mine, cause I'm just so high. Telling all my boys that you chose me and left your guy. Magnificent situation, I'm so glad that I bumped you. Intense, let me close up this between us two. Cause I don't wanna go hard like I wanna have sex with you. I'ma take my time and let you know.
I wanna get next to you. Tonight I got my crush in your zone. On my new spotter from zone. I got a couple dollars and yeah, I just got it. Text her when she home. If she text back, I'm alone. Yeah, you know, ain't no question, baby.
Sexy, ain't no need for the faking. Could you tell me, is this seat taken? If it ain't, then can I sit there? Yeah, compliment her like a gentleman because I know there's fly shit there. All the time in the back of my mind, I wanna say that's my shit there. With the swag of a diva, hot but not too flamboyant. Nope, wishing I could communicate with her through clairvoyance. Yeah, telepathy and I can tell her what I really feel about her when I have a doubt. Pretty skin, and your lips look so soft. Don't talk, shh, be quiet. Can't you tell what I be thinking about when you see my eyes? They say, I'm looking at you like prey, and I'm a lion and I'm finna make a move for that. Cause I really wanna see her on my arm a lot. Try to be her friend, I'ma be so close and become her confidant.
That's right.
But play hard to get and tell me, why don't I just go? Well, I think you are the shit, so.
I wanna get next to you. Tonight I got
she home. Then she texts back, I'm alone, yeah. Yeah, you know, ain't no question, baby, baby. I wanna get next to you.
And welcome back to the Alma Community Health Radio. And as I said before, our focus today will be on the disability and Pacific workforce sector. And we are very privileged to have Manase Lua, the national lead for Te Pou's Disability Workforce Development Program. And without further ado, I'd just like to say Maloe Lele, Manase, and once again, thank you so much for being here.
Maurele, Mel, and Talawani, and Farufalayatu, Talofalava, Nisambola Vinaka, Kiorana, and Kiora to all our listeners out there. It's indeed an honor to be here today, having a talanoa with you around some of the work that I do at Te Pou, and also about the disability sector in general. Yeah, Mel, it's a very challenging sector that we work in, given the workforce challenges. But I think Te Pou is well placed to help address some of the challenges that are currently in the disability sector. But again, just wanting to thank you for this opportunity to share some of the challenges that we face and also some of the positive developments that are on the horizon for the disability workforce in particular. Mahalo a bit.
Mahalo ni, Manase, absolutely. You know, I'm looking forward to this talanoa, you know, just prior to coming on air. You know, you were sharing with me about, you know, the workforce and supporting our, you know, people and families with who may have a disability. And I was asking you the question of, you know, how can our staff or people looking to get into that line of work career, how can they be attracted to their line of work? And I really like how you put it across. But before we get into that, Manase, can we please, you know, I'd like to ask all my guests, really, if they can share a bit about themselves, you know, their family history, their upbringing, if that's okay.
Sure, no problem, Mel. I'm obviously from the tiny kingdom of Tonga, born in Tonga, but grew up here in New Zealand. Yes. I migrated here during the infamous Dawn Raid era in the mid-70s. We lived in Grey Lynn, as a lot of Polynesians did back in those days. Mm. Vermont Street, to be exact. Lived in a flat there. Had a brief period of exile up north in Kaikohe during the, during one of those Dawn raids, but yeah, that's all part of the family history, and I'm proud of that, and the fact that it's character building. We never had anything on a silver spoon served up to us. We had to fight and pretty much survive to get whatever morsel of crumbs we got. But I'm really proud of the fact that my parents brought us up in a loving home where all I can remember, despite those challenging days, is being looked after, having, you know, always a full stomach. So, you know, even though things are pretty hard sometimes and you hear of the homelessness, yes, and the sad plight of our people today, it's nothing new. It's been around for a long time. A lot of it is about personal resilience, how you overcome those challenges and how you break through. So as a son of the Pacific, proud Tongan with connections to Samoa and Fiji, I'm really happy to share some of my journey here. It's a humble journey, but it is a journey nonetheless. Very much a family man. I'm married to a beautiful wife from Australia. Yes, I married the enemy. I married a wallaby, but she's a Tongan girl. Falola, mofe latu, ni latu lua. She hails from Four in Haapai. On her father's side, and on her mother's side, she's from Nukunuku in the Hifo district, a proud rugby-playing nation. I have four children, two boys, two girls. In fact, my son, eldest son, Siosifa, celebrated his 16th birthday yesterday. So,
happy birthday. Yeah.
Thank you, brother. He's currently schooling at my old school at ASDA. He's doing very well, the young fella. And... yeah, that's my life revolves around family, and you know, working for the community. I'm on a number of different voluntary community groups, and you mentioned Manu Fotu and Alo Foliaki, good friends of mine. Manu and I, and Alo actually, are part of the Akihe Uho Aotearoa Tongan Health Workers Association. That's been around now for almost 15 years. A group set up by Alo's sister, Lita Foliaki, and other pioneers in health many years ago to support Tongan health workers and social workers, for that matter, to, you know, work and provide supports to our community, particularly now during these tough times for many of us. In saying that, it's not all doom and gloom. A lot of our people are doing well, as you know, brother.
Absolutely.
But it's often the bad news that we focus on. And at Te Pol, where I work, I like to see the glass half full, cool, not half empty. I'm sort of wired that way. And I always look at opportunities to advance the development of the disability sector, particularly for groups like Māori, Pacific, and those on the margins, and particularly the sleeping giant of the Asian population. So just to wrap up my background a bit, I went through the Seventh-day Adventist schooling system. I'm sort of a recovering Seventh-day Adventist myself. I'm not really that strong in the church these days, but in saying that, I never forget my upbringing and the strong sense of faith that my parents instilled in me. I was recently conferred a title from my chief, Mafu, from Vainī. My title is Pakilau or Aotearoa, named after a famous stream in our village in Vainī. And that's one of the highlights of my life. Not the academic stuff, the master's in English and that's important. But for me, I've always been very proud about my culture, my Pacific history, genealogy, and I've a very strong passion in studying Tongan, Samoan, and Fijian genealogical and historical connections. It's a passion I've had for the last 20 or more years, where I've researched that. So that's a bit about myself. Some of the other groups I'm involved in is I'm the secretary of the Siutaka, New Zealand Tongan Rugby.
Yes.
President Sam Mosi Koloto, many of you will know him. Mosi is one of the premier first professional Tongan rugby players to really crack open the professional scene back in the day. Also represented Tonga and played in England for many years. So Emosi and I are on the Siutaka, but I'm also a member of the TASA, Tonga Aotearoa Amateur Sports Association, with Manu, who's also the president of that. Other than that, I try to my best to not get onto any other groups, because my wife's getting on my case. Then how many groups are you on? How many committees and so on? My problem is I can't say no. I'm also on the board of Whanua Ola, which is a social service provider out there in the community, doing some excellent work there. And I'm a governance member of the Pacific Leadership Forum, which is the largest mandated Pacific group that includes some of the church leaders from all different faiths and different community leaders, Matai, and representatives of different Pacific groups around the country. So that's a bit of background to me. I've worked now at Te Pol for 8 years, 5 of those years at Levi, as you mentioned.
Yes.
We've been very privileged to have been part of some of the most amazing projects, including the Engaging Pacific Seitapu program, the cultural competency. I was a key part of that work back in the early days, piloting it out and rolling it out. But we can talk a bit more about that stuff later on. But that's my background. Mel, thank you again for this opportunity.
Absolutely, Manasseh. I think I have to side with your wife here. You seem to have a lot, maybe too many hats. And do you have time to sleep?
Well, you know, it's the old thing. You know, you're a jack of all trades, but a master of none. So my wife's probably right. In saying that, I find it rewarding doing things for the community.
Yes.
You know, this sounds cliche, but actually, it's very real because of the background I've had, having to observe my parents struggling through, the Dawn Raid, particular that period here in New Zealand, but also having gone to university and learned a bit about the plight of tangata whenua here.
Yes.
I have a strong social conscience. That's why I worked in the disability sector. I've chosen those. You don't get rich working in the health or disability sector. But in saying that, you do find it rewarding because of the difference that you can make working in the sector.
And you spoke about the values prior to coming onto air. You know, and for me, that really brought home to me, anyway, why you should go into working in the disability sector.
Absolutely, Mel, and I have utmost respect for anyone that works in the sector because having worked here now for the last 10-15 years at both levels, at the highest level in government, having worked at the funder planner type role at the Ministry of Health through to working at an NGO, I've seen it at both ends, and both ends are important. You can't have a great workforce on the ground without having that strategic leadership at the top. And and in between, you've got groups like Te Pol, Levā, you've got Te Reo Matatini and other groups that develop the workforce. So we don't deliver services directly, but we support those that do. And I think those are important roles as well.
So in terms of supporting those NGOs, in terms of cultural competency and just core values in terms of working in the supporting our community who need help with disability services, what are some of the core responsibilities or requirements for any staff, you would say, that who are working in there or who want to work in that sector?
It's a great question, Mel, and it's also at the core of what we do because you mentioned Let's Get Real at the start of the program. We borrowed the Let's Get Real framework from the mental health sector. And Let's Get Real is basically a framework that outlines the values and attitudes that a worker needs to have when you work in the sector. And it's outlined in different levels. So you've got essential level, practitioner, you've got leader.
Yes.
And so it covers all the different bases. So it's not just for your frontline support worker. It's right through to your managers.
Clinicians,
everyone.
Yes.
So Let's Get Real. As I mentioned, we adapted it for the disability sector. Te Pol developed Let's Get Real for mental health, and then we've developed it for the disability sector. And again, we've kept the 7 real skills pretty much the same. It talks about things like working with Māori, working with families and communities, stigma and discrimination, all those things that are important, working with consumers, disabled people. It's important to have the right values when you work in an area and a sector as challenging as challenging as the disability sector. I think it's you know, the money's not going to attract people to work in the disability sector because, to be fair, right now it's grappling with the low-wage environment. And, in fact, Te Pau has worked closely with a group called the New Zealand Disability Support Network. They're the peak body that umbrella a lot of the disability support service providers. And we put together a workforce stocktake report that we launched very recently that outlines some of the challenges, which includes, you know, a workforce that is largely female, which is nothing wrong with that, but it just lacks the diversity, I guess.
Need a balance,
I guess. And you've got, it's an aging workforce. We've got challenges in terms of getting wages,
young
people attracted to working in this sector.
Yes.
So it's very challenging in that Te Pau is tasked with, in one of our areas for our program, looking at career promotion and career planning. How do we attract young people to work in the disability sector, one, and then retain them in there, and then provide a pathway for career development? So it's not good enough just to bring them in.
Yes.
They have to stay there, and they have to be able to progress. And that's challenging because right now it's a limited career pathway in the disability sector.
Okay.
So we're working with the likes of Career Force and others to develop a sustainable pathway and a pathway that will attract particularly young Pacific, Asian, Maori people into the sector, and that's not easy.
I suppose for me anyway, maybe the parents play a part in you know, in the career pathway that their kids take, because maybe, I don't know, maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe the parents just want, Pacific parents want their kids to be lawyers or doctors, or maybe even a professional sports player. What do you think?
I think you're bang on there. I think you know, and it's the reason why our parents and their parents, in some cases, migrated here in the first place, was to get a better life for their children. So there's nothing wrong with aspiring or the ambition to achieve to become a doctor, lawyer, psychiatrist, psychologist, some of those key professional roles, even in the sports, to become an All Black.
Yes.
But the reality is that very few will ever attain those heights.
That's right.
And it's not a failure to not attain those heights. We still need people in the other levels and the other important workforce areas. You know, we can't all be doctors, we can't all be lawyers and that sort of thing. So diversity is an important aspect, and inclusion. These are two key themes that Te Pau is promoting. In fact, we launched a video at the Levar GPS conference that outlined our two broad themes for the disability sector around promotion, you know, the diversity of our workforce, and inclusiveness, which includes employers employing disabled people. You know, often an employer will not want to employ a disabled person for whatever reason, but that's not what an inclusive society does. You know, we create barriers that you know, blocks a lot of disabled people from becoming fully employed, and then blocking them from fully participating in society. So we very much support the social model of disability, in that, you know, disabled people are not, you know, we can't see them as having just disabilities. It's society that puts barriers in front of them
and give them a fair chance.
Exactly.
Give them a fair chance.
So, you know, so hopefully to answer your question, yes, we need a diverse workforce. So the aspirations of our parents and their generation to have, you know, their son become a doctor, a lawyer, whatever, is possibly limited to their window of experience. So in the islands, they may have only thought of those careers as being the best of the best, but little knowing that you can be richer than a doctor just by being a plumber. In fact, some of the most wealthy Pacific people in New Zealand are tradespeople, small business owners. You know, they have much better cash flow than these so-called professionals. So it's limited to your own experience and to what you understand. So it's not a limitation of our parents, it's just what they understand at the time. And I think people need to broaden their horizons. You can make a living now by playing games. That's a ridiculous thing 20 years ago, but there are young people 16 to 20 years making lucrative careers developing computer software and, you know, gaming. And,
absolutely.
And even in the music industry, you can make it,
yes,
a very good living there. So I guess what I'm trying to say is for our community, it needs to sort of...
expand their horizons.
Expand the horizons, exactly. So yes. And it's the same thing we're trying to do in terms of changing the mindset of people when they think of the disability
absolutely
sector. You know, to be fair, it's not seen as a sexy role, it's
yes
an expression.
Yes.
In disability and probably the same in mental health. But in saying that, it's some of the most rewarding work you can have, and the values base is what we're trying to focus on to attract people working in the sector, not the money.
And absolutely, and you touched on it before we came on air, that we all need to work, get paid, but the impact of the work that we do, that could be 100 times more than what the money could make. It sounds good, but, you know, the way you said it to me anyway, it resonated with me and it made sense to me. You know, I probably didn't think it well enough when I asked you the question, but that's so true, the values in that you can become and achieve working in the disability sector. But can I ask you, Manasseh, it seems to me like you said, it's pretty limited in terms of the pathways, you know, starting out in disability. You know, maybe at another level, at, you know, the higher level up there, maybe government's not putting enough priority on the disability sector. So not only is it affecting our vulnerable people in the community, you know, their day-to-day lifestyle, but also the workforce. So maybe that's it needs to be a priority.
It's a fair question, and you know, governments come and go, and
yes,
it's not about red or blue or whoever your political cup of tea is. I think you know, in terms of these big issues, it transcends politics. You know, I mean, this mm-hmm is a societal, these are societal issues that we're talking about, and what we need is buy-in from communities on the ground, right up to governments. Governments are where just things get ticked off and
yes
funded and that sort of thing. But unless you get the buy-in and the feed through from the base where the actual work mm-hmm is done, it's meaningless. You know, you'll always be a disconnect between what the workforce and what the community needs
yes
and what government thinks they need. And that's what I've always, you know, governments are a necessary evil in a way. I mean, I've got to be careful what I say, but you need politicians, you need government to enact things to make it look orderly, and that's based on good evidence, you know, and that's accountable to the taxpayers' money. And
absolutely,
so having worked in government and now working in an NGO sector, you can't help but become cynical at times mm-hmm about what happens, you know, in terms of those high level. But at the same time, it is what it is. And we can all do a little bit to assist and support the government in terms of where it's heading. But if I can just say
yes
this thing, I think it all boils down to what kind of society do we want? You know, how we treat our most vulnerable is the real test of a truly civilized society. And if we aren't doing that, then we're not a civilized society.
Absolutely. Look, Manasseh, I'm just looking at the time. I can't believe we literally got less than about 5 minutes left. And it's amazing what you've shared here. And I just want to put it back to you. Any closing words or any closing thoughts, you know, maybe to encourage, to support our disability and Pacific workforce that are in there at the coalface doing all the hard work, you know?
Yeah, well, Mel, look, there's not much more I can say. And again, there's a Tongan saying, Tala Bea Ngari, which means, you know, talk is cheap, really. You know, action speaks louder than words. So I really value the time that we've shared, and hopefully people will translate what of the hot air I've been saying into tangible things on the ground. I'm very much wired that way. I put my shoulders where my words are. And so hopefully we will make a difference in terms of these big picture things that that are out there. It's not easy, but again, you know, we're up for the task. I'm very proud of the fact that I work for an organization that allows me to work in both the Pacific sphere and mainstream. Te Pau is a mainstream organization, but I have a Pacific component and I work closely with others on the ground. And you know, it's rewarding work. And
yes,
just going back to the values, I think that's the last thing I'd probably say.
Absolutely.
You know, in terms of Pacific people, we pride ourselves of, in terms of our key values of aloha, love, or,
absolutely,
you know,
kāinga,
all that sort of stuff. But do we really reflect that? That is the challenge I put out there. If we are relational people, if we are people that care about each other, let that speak louder than words, and you know, the rest will come. You know, then you'll see the workforce reflecting those values. On that note, I just want to thank you, Mel, for this opportunity to say a few words and to tautoko our hard-working sector out there. A lot of hard-working Pacific Māori and others working in the civility sector. I can't say thank you enough to those workers, and I'm proud of the work that we do to support them. Mālo o whātu.
Mālo ni Manase. Now, thank you very much for being here, and I'd love to have you anytime. You know, I'll keep in touch with you anytime you want to come back on here, share the knowledge, the right knowledge, and acting on these conversations. But also like to thank the organization Te Pau, and also the Wisers Group for the great work you guys are doing supporting our Pacific workforce and the disability sector. Mahalo ni, and don't forget to tune in next week. We're going to have some more good conversations, and hopefully someone out there will act on it. Thank you.
I'm singing.